podcast number 56 on July 31st, 2013. Changing the world, one ass at a time. Hello, everybody. Let's jump right into the letterbox, shall we? Here we go. Love the blog and podcast. I've been reading and listening for a while. I've had an interest in pegging for a year or more, and almost got there in a previous relationship. She agreed and was very willing, but the relationship ended for other reasons before we got to it. I've been active on FetLife for a couple of months, joined just to make friends and learn, not intending to hook up. I've become close friends with an amazing lady who lives a long way away, so we had no expectations of getting together in real life at first. But we chat a lot about kink and relationships and exchange information and views. She is quite new to kink and is mainly interested in dominant submission play, which is also my primary non-pegging interest. We were chatting one evening and she asked me to name one unfulfilled kink I'd most like to try if I ever had a chance. So I took a deep breath, wondering if she'd be freaked out or turned off, and said, "Pegging." "I don't know what that is," she said. Took another deep breath and decided to not beat about the bush. "It is where a woman wears a strap-on harness and dildo and fucks her guy in the ass." So, credit to my open-minded friend, she just said, I kid you not, this is a quote. No kidding, huh? I've never heard of that at all. I'll have to do some research. I think I sent her a link to your site, too. The next day, we were chatting again, and she told me she had been searching the web and reading about pegging some more. She emailed me some nice erotic pegging images she had found, and she told me how hot they were and said, "I really love these. They're so freaking hot. They're making me a little wet looking at them." She also read a lot of the info on your site and told me she would love to try it sometime. Wow. Never heard of it to sign me up cowboy in 24 hours. I'm not sure if we'll ever hook up given the distances, but we are keeping that possibility open. She has told me she would love to pop my cherry and has given me an open invitation as friends if and when we are able to get together. I was really taken aback by her openness, generosity, and acceptance, which only makes me like and admire her more, even more than I already did. I'll give her a class one spanking in return and do my utmost to rock her world too. And then he sent another one. "I sent a message to you earlier on your website with my experience educating a friend about pegging. The lady I'm talking about in the message and I have been talking online for weeks now, and I've agreed to try out a no-strings, long-distance, dom-sub partnership. We are both on our DS learner's permits, so I hope we'll help each other along the path. Unexpectedly, I'm going to be in her area, her general area, next month, briefly. We have agreed to a face-to-face meet at a coffee shop just for conversation. No pegging or spanking or other intimacy on the day's agenda. So we'll see how things progress, but I'm hopeful about it all. The great thing about FetLife for me has been you can talk completely openly about intimate and kinky matters without the embarrassment you might experience with someone you met elsewhere. And for us, we got all the what are you into stuff out in the open long before we decided we might want to get together. Most vanilla hetero relationships skip that. There was that Dan Savage piece that talked about it in comparison to gay-lesbian relationships. And the hetero relationships never really get to a point where it is all laid out in the open in the same way. Good luck with your search for younger partners. If I wasn't 20 years too old and far too far away, I'd volunteer." That's very nice. Thank you for writing in. Your experiences are very interesting with what you're doing online and how you might meet her, but really I decided to read this partly to show listeners that sometimes it really is that easy as far as the reaction of a lady friend. I mean, one can never know whether that approach is the best idea, but when you're with someone on a kinky website like FetLife.com and you've already talked about a lot of what you're into, there is a much better chance that you're going to get a positive response than, say, spitting it right out there to the woman you met in church and that you asked out for a coffee. Okay, now I don't want to get a lot of letters from you religious kinky people out there, because I know that you're out there, and I know that not all religions are sex negative, just the vast majority of them. Anyway, sir, what a fun turn of events that you and this woman have connected so well, and are now actually, it sounds like, getting a chance to meet face to face soon. So here is my favorite line of your message. Wow, never heard of it, to sign me up, cowboy, in 24 hours. Please do let us know how it goes, and keep being your bold self. Kudos to you. Okay, here's another update from the guy in the last podcast whose wife was okay with anal play, but she stopped short of wanting to actually strap one on. And you know, when people write letters, I mean, many times things happen pretty quickly before I even read the letter on the podcast. So that's actually what happened here. Check this out. Since I have sent my last message, my wife and I have taken another big step. My wife had a lunch date with her best friend, and they talked about all of their sexual adventures and play. Our friend thought it was completely hot as to the play that we were doing, and she even said that she sees how happy and excited my wife is when talking about it. They talked about the strap-on idea, and her friend said it is amazing, which has now inspired my wife to try it. As of now, we are going to go to Good Vibrations in a few weeks and get the spare parts Jacques, as it has great reviews and she liked the look of it. She did not want to order it and prefers to go get it so that she can try it on as well as talk to them about it. We are both so happy with our sex life. She told me last night that this is the happiest she has ever been with our sex life, and we have been married for 23 years. Thank you for your podcast and bringing up what to do when she does use the strap-on, as I can totally understand how the learning curve can be tough. I completely agree with you about keeping it simple and fun and making it enjoyable for both. You have some awesome ideas, and I thank you so much for them. I will keep you up to date as how things go when we get the harness and whatnot. Again, thank you so much for the advice. It's very appreciated. Oh, wow. So I'm going to read this one line again. She told me last night that this is the happiest she has ever been in our sex life, and we have been married for 23 years. Oh, goodness, I am like blinking away the tears right now, man. And this always happens when I get letters of, we've been married for a decade or two or three, and this is the best sex we've ever had and the happiest we've ever been. Those letters, oh my gosh. And the very coolest thing about this letter, and it kind of cracks me up, is that you guys haven't even tried begging yet. I mean, no, I know you're totally into it, and I'm positive you're just going to have an incredible time. But this is just so amazing that she would say something like that before you even get to, like, whatever, the main course, you know, the grand, what do you call it? The grand performance. That's what I was thinking of. But this is, you know, a perfect example of how wonderful it can feel when you start communicating honestly about your desires and revealing those hidden parts to your partner. Because it may be scary, and it may not instantaneously give you the results you want, like the never heard of it to sign me up cowboy and 24 hours couple that we just talked about. But really, the very act of opening up and just talking about your sexual relationship then paves the way to more conversation between you and to figuring out ways to satisfy each other's desires. And that, my friends, builds deeper intimacy. And you know what? Then you are the couple who are standing in line at the supermarket and looking at each other like you can't wait to get out of that market and fuck like bunnies as soon as you get home. We have all seen couples like that. And, you know, maybe you're going to fuck like bunnies as soon as you get home, or maybe even sooner. Unless maybe you bought frozen food. But I digress. Have fun shopping for the equipment, and let us know when we can play the music for you guys. In fact, you know what? I have an idea. As far as playing the music, as far as pegging celebration time, When you listeners write in with your pegging success stories, how about you give me a title or a name to announce before I play the music? That would be so much fun. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. Maybe something simple like, this is for R and S in Virginia. Or, this is for happiest we have ever been now that she's fucking me in the ass in Maine. Or, let's see. Took us 5 years to get here and now we can't stop in New York. Get creative, people. Make some stuff up. Oh my God, this sounds like so much fun. Let's do this. You know, I realize that actual names are not a happening thing here at Pegging Paradise, but I would love to personalize these success stories a little more for you, because I so carefully avoid real names, but at the same time, this would be really fun. I could announce it, like the name that you give me, and then play the music and then read your story. Okay? Awesome. Okay, here's the end of the story about the cheap, bad glass dildos. Oh my God, this has gone on like forever. Okay, the last thing we knew, the guy was going to try and get his money back. So regarding the bad glass sex toys, this man exchanged 16 messages back and forth before he got half of his money back. He sent me a copy of it because I asked him how it went. Wow. And it was obvious that the writers of the emails, that English was not their first language, and it was filled with a lot of double talk and words of appeasement and no action. And I could tell how frustrated he was getting, so finally he just took half of his money back. So I believe this is the first time I've ever done this on Pegging Paradise. I'm going to recommend some place you never buy toys from, and that would be intimategadgets.com. Do not patronize them, please. So, moving right along, back in podcast number 46, I talked about the intersection of bisexuality and pegging. And then on podcast number 47 and 49, we heard from the wife of a female-led relationship. She wrote in regards to her husband's first bi experience. Well, we heard back from her again. Oh, here you go. I want to apologize for getting back to you so late, but I just wanted to thank you so much for taking interest in what I had to write. My husband and I both listened to your podcast, and I can certainly say that hearing someone react in such a positive way to my hubby's first experience helped to ease some of his anxieties. Because you were so kind, I thought that I would give you a little update. For the past month or so, Ben has been coming over to spend the night about 2 times a week. He and my husband normally take the main bedroom, and Ben will leave sometime after breakfast the next morning. For the most part, Ben prefers that I stay out of the bedroom when he's together with hubby, which I can understand. He is a gay man after all, though from time to time he will allow me to watch. As far as my hubby accepting Ben's cock, and for you listeners, she described it as freaking huge, suffice to say. It has been a slow and gradual process. He still struggles with Ben's size. However, Ben goes very slow, and hubby shows a lot of patience. From the times that I've been allowed to watch, I can tell that there are moments in which Ben's size creates an uncomfortable situation for hubby, though hubby has told me that he has never been in any amount of serious pain. I think if they begin to see each other a bit more frequently, Ben's size will no longer be an issue. The dynamic of this three-way relationship has worked surprisingly well. I had never intended for it to turn out like this. To be frank, all I had originally wanted was to see my husband get fucked by another man. But my husband really took a liking to Ben. He submits to Ben in the same way he would submit to me. He doesn't place one of us over the other. Because of this, I've never felt an ounce of regret or jealousy towards Ben. My husband is still uncomfortable with speaking about his orientation. He refuses to call himself bi, and has a hard time saying that he desires to be with other men. He tells me that he doesn't like guys, he just likes Ben. It's very hard for me not to laugh at his logic, but I know that it will take time for him to sort these things out. For right now, I want him to continue to hold a special and passionate relationship with Ben. I just wanted to thank you once again for your kindness. And if you have any questions about our relationship or would like some content for your blog, I would be happy to help. Wow. Well, first, I wanted to remark about how you seem to have taken all this in stride beautifully, just amazingly well. So first of all, kudos to you. Few women, I believe, would as easily adapt to what was initially intended, as you said, as just watching your husband get fucked by another man. And you mentioned that your husband does not put either Ben or you over each other and submits to you both. That's also a part that surprises me, and actually that's the part that surprises me the most. You know, it's almost as if you're both sharing your husband, you to the greater extent, of course, and Ben the lesser. But I can see why the sharing really can't overlap, because Ben's gay, so that's not going to work. But the fact that it's working at all, frankly, is a testament, I think, to the communication abilities of all three of you. And as far as your husband is concerned, you know, first of all, I've made no secret that I love homoerotic sex, so the idea of your husband and Ben together is totally hot. But, you know, beyond the totally hot thing, what really struck me is how wonderful that they seem to have found something special with each other. You know, when people talk about spending the night, I know there's a certain amount of intimacy involved. And finding intimacy with another person is a rare thing. And how lovely that you are all open-minded enough to allow this to be what it is. Soon, perhaps, you may be listening to Polyamory Weekly with Minx, and I will post that link for you listeners, of course. Thanks so much for writing in and letting us know how things are going. Smashingly, from the sound of it. Okay, another letter. Let's see. Hi, was noticing that a good portion of the men shown being pegged on film or in photos have shaved pubes. Is there an association, do you think? I like to shave mine sometimes, as I find it a turn-on, sensual, forbidden, etc., and that's why I'm wondering. Trying to psych myself, I guess. Thinking that my interest in various kinky pleasures stems from my ability to appreciate and enjoy sensuality. And I don't know whether it's a comment about what you wrote, guilty, or you're signing it guilty, but pretty much the same thing. Okay, oh goodness, pretty much all people shown in porn these days are shaved, not just with pegging porn. Some people love it. And though I wouldn't exactly call it forbidden, because it actually is pretty widespread these days, what's most important is that in your world, it gives you a thrill because it feels forbidden to you and taboo. And if you've never tried shaving, you should go ahead and give it a try and check it out. Please do some research on the internet so that you don't nick the boys or, heaven forbid, nick your cock. It can feel really nice and very, very sensual. Not the nicking, the shaving, the being shaved. So, Mr. Guilty of Sensuality, try it and write back and tell us what it was like. That's your homework assignment. And so, on this topic, personally, I have mixed feelings about it. I do find there to be a bit of hair-hating culture that has arisen as a result of all of the completely hairless bodies in porn. And, you know, misconceptions have also arisen, like that you are somehow magically cleaner if you are hairless, which is totally not true. You may feel cleaner because you have bought into the hair-hating attitude, but the reality is that you are just as clean either way as long as you keep yourself, you know, clean. I'm sorry, is my bias showing here? Okay, here's the other side of things. I actually enjoy trimmed pubes because things are just so much more accessible. And that is definitely the right word. They're very accessible. And I am just talking actually about men's pubes because as yet I have not had the desire or opportunity to check out a woman's pubes. I don't know, all my bi women friends are going to give me a hard time about that, about the opportunity. Okay, let's just stick with I have not had the desire to check out a woman's pubes, but I have shaved at various times and in various patterns using various implements and trying different things for the shaving ritual. And you know, I must admit that that slippery, smooth feel of skin on skin really does seem to provide more sensation. Even just getting the hair off my vaginal lips seemed to practically invite in more sensation, and that is really still the right word. I remember, I tend to, the vaginal lips are the easiest to keep shaved for me, even though I really still don't enjoy shaving them a lot. They're the ones least likely to give me ingrown hairs and things like that. And I must say that, you know, just shaving the hair there, like example, laying face to face with a man and having his hard cock slide against like my freshly shaved vaginal lips, like without going inside me and with just maybe the wetness of my pussy or his pre-cum or both, or maybe some lube. Oh yeah, baby, that's very erotic, really, really amazing, because it's so smooth and it's just like magical little sliding things together. Unfortunately, here's where I go from the magical sliding. That lovely, smooth, slippery skin-on-skin feel lasts about 12 hours, and then it is torture. It is bristly and rough, and it's like a fucking 5 o'clock vag shadow. I mean, what the fuck? It itches, and it progresses from there to ingrown hairs, and it all just gets really bad. All that for 12 hours of fun? I don't think so. So here's my conclusion. Mind you, it's just mine. There are some people who can seem to be able to shave it without it becoming torture like it is with me. And if they want to, more power to them. Awesome. Whatever you guys like, you know. But if a guy wants me to shave completely, I tell him exactly where he can stick that idea. And I offer, well, actually, I don't come off quite that intense about it unless he says, well, no, I really insist on a woman being shaved. Yeah, that's like the death knell for getting to know me. On the other hand, I offer a very well-trimmed pubic area, and I enjoy having the same offered to me. But no, to me, shaving is not necessary. And you know, there's something about like a natural body not being okay that bothers me too, the whole idea that, you know, because this is something that's natural, and all of a sudden it's not okay. You know, first it was under the arms and the legs and shit like that, and then that's fine. Now you're going to shave your fucking pubes too? I don't know. I've never really been on board this except for special occasions. Reminds me kind of like breast implants, you know? Oh, they don't look good enough. They don't look like I want them to. Well, let's just change that and, you know, shave it, surgery it, whatever. I know that there are women out there who just don't feel clean or right unless every pube is shaved off. And I know there are men who are willing to do the same. And there's also men who insist that any woman they're intimate with is shaved completely or they won't go down on her. I have no proof of this, but I think there are less women who insist that their guy is shaved completely or they won't give him a blowjob. Because let's face it, men are usually hairier, and that's asking a lot, but I look at the whole hair-hating group of people, and I just shrug my shoulders. More power to you if that's what you want. There are threads that come up with nauseating regularity in Reddit sex, unless they finally banned them, where everyone wants to convince everyone else that their way is the best, whether it's what you shave, how you shave, or if you shave. And there are those who are convinced that if you just do their elaborate ritual of shaving with like the triple-bladed razor in the direction that the hair grows and follow it with alcohol, ouch, and then you stick deodorant on it, which is supposed to prevent ingrown hairs. I mean, seriously? I can't be bothered, frankly. But that's my rant. That's my hair rant. And the listener who wrote in wondering about shaving, I totally encourage you to check it out and try it. It's actually really awesome to give a guy a blowjob who shaved. I like it. Unless it's just growing back in. And then it becomes like sandpaper. All right, let's move along here. Spending way too much time on the hair issue. Here is a message that I received recently on FetLife. And this young man is probably not expecting me to read this on the podcast. So surprise, surprise. Okay. Hello, ma'am. I've been browsing your sites lately, and I first would like to say that I am thankful for the plethora of resources you have provided. It has let me tread the uncommon kinky path of male anal play a bit surer than I would have without it. Oddly enough, that also had me a bit more introspective about my own fetishes, although introspection is... Okay. Oddly enough, that also had me a bit more introspective about my own fetishes. And now that I think about it, introspection is rather fitting when considering the insertion of assorted objects. And well, of others, yours specifically. What was it that led you to take up the name Ruby Rider? Okay, this message has a bunch of different questions, and I'm going to answer them one by one. Ruby Rider. Okay. I knew that I needed an online pen name. And I have always loved Violet Blue's name, actually. So that's where the thought started, because I started thinking about words for colors. There's lots of way cool words that are for colors. And I came across Ruby, and it just seemed like a really excellent choice. And from there, it was actually all about the intersection of alliteration, because it had to be alliterative. Between the intersection of that and what domains were available, frankly. And thus was born Ruby Rider, spelled with a Y. So here's a funny thing. It wasn't until a couple of months into my website and blog, and I had the name, I had the domain, you know, I had Pegging Paradise. Wasn't until then that I actually Googled the name Ruby Rider. I hadn't done that yet. And I discovered that there was a porn star by that name. She had a short career with the Too Young Pigtail look. As I recall, she got thrown in jail for drugs, and she found Jesus, which explains why that domain was available. Over the time that I have had the name and had the website, and I do own rubywriter.com, and it's just a forward to Pegging Paradise. I think I've gotten maybe 4 or 5 messages from guys raving about my porn and how they still remember how awesome it is. And I have to correct them and say it wasn't me. The one thing that really threw me was, I'm not sure if many of you are familiar with Zalman King. They're producers of some different porn, like the Red Shoe Diaries and stuff like that. And Zalman King actually sent me an email and said that they were looking for some clips from an interview they'd done with me some years ago and wondered if I could help them. I said, "You have the wrong Ruby Rider," and they apologized and went away. It was interesting to get. And as far as the name Ruby Rider is concerned, you will also find, you DC comic nerds out there, that Ruby Rider with the same spelling, let's see, appeared in 4 DC comics way back when. I think it's in the Earth One series or something. She was known as the richest woman and the top female tycoon in Gotham City. She was like the femme fatale and total criminal. She had 3, I think, encounters with Batman and ended with her behind bars. She also had run-ins with Metamorpho, Green Arrow, Metal Man, and Plastic Man. And Plastic Man actually fell for Ruby Rider at one time. So there's your DC comic thing with Ruby Rider. That is pretty much everything about my name. And next question, how has it changed your philosophy? Interesting question. If you mean how has becoming Ruby Rider and doing what it is that I do changed my philosophy sort of about life and sex, that's how I'm going to answer that question, as if that's what you meant. First, I have become so much more aware of the sex negative attitudes that I encounter and how pervasive they are everywhere, sadly. And additionally, because of that, I've begun to really encourage people that I encounter to open up to their sexuality and try and explore it without judgment. Because I really think unless and until you do that, you really cannot experience the best level of satisfaction, the ultimate level of satisfaction and intimacy with another human being. And when I say, you know, open up and explore your sexuality, I don't mean explore it as in the goal is just to be like uber sex person, like the women who squirt and have G-spot orgasms and without any clitoral stimulation and they're multi-orgasmic and they come when their partner breathes on their clit. I'm not talking about that. Or for the guys, I am not talking about guys who can like hold back their orgasm forever, experience multiple prostate hands-free orgasms and can repeat, you know, regular intercourse 4 or 5 times in a night. That's not what I mean. Sure, you can play around with all that stuff and you can see what happens and how it feels. But the very most important thing is to find out what you like and what works for you. Not to chase after the uber sex goals that a relatively small percentage of people can actually achieve. So accepting yourself as who you are sexually is so important. Not just if you don't measure up to the stupid uber sex things, but also as far as society's, you know, slut-shaming bullshit or taboo, forbidden judgment crap when it comes to anything that they consider outside fucking missionary position. Okay. But you know, however you're built, whatever body or equipment that you were born with, however it works, accepting yourself is just all important. Whether it means you're the guy who needs Viagra to fuck, or a woman who can't orgasm with her partner, or, I mean, I could just list off a myriad of things that people would actually consider sort of malfunctioning sexual. I can't even think of a good word for that, but you guys get what I mean. You know, you can talk about it, work it out, you can figure out what feels good, and do it without judgment. Accepting yourself sexually, kinks and all, is so important. And then the next step would be sharing yourself, kinks and all, with your partner. That's the next most important step to what I believe is sexual happiness. And I have come to believe, pun very much intended, come to believe, haha, that people who are happy with their sexuality are really happier in general, just walking around in life. So that's kind of how what I do has changed a few things in terms of my philosophy. It's all about sex and being okay with who you are and loving yourself exactly the way you are. Next question. Do you think pleasure is the only value? That's a really strange question. Oh, hell no, I don't. There are so many things I value. Honesty, integrity, caring, compassion, kindness, good Thai food, and an excellent margarita. That's just a short list. But here's the deal. Pleasure, in my opinion, has gotten short shrift for a long, long time, especially sexual pleasure. And the thing that's so silly about that, that I find so silly, is that other kinds of pleasure can really cost you money, but sexual pleasure is pretty much free. You know, maybe not with the kind of toys that I buy, but what I mean is that other pleasures can get expensive, like, you know, the aforementioned Thai food or the margaritas, or maybe you like to go shopping or take vacations. There's many other pleasurable things you can do that cost money, a lot of money. But sex doesn't really have to cost anything more than condoms and lube. And if you're younger, birth control. That's it. And it's the most amazing way of connecting with another person in a way that you cannot do with just Thai food, margaritas, vacations, and shopping. Even just talking about sex over dinner with a friend, not even a partner, is sure to liven up that meal and connect you more closely with your friend than if you were to talk about politics, jobs, weather, kids, money, games, whatever. This is what I find anyway, and maybe it's because I walk around thinking and talking about sex all the time. My friends kid about that. You want to talk about sex? Invite Ruby over, you know. But people, I find, are hungry to talk about sex. You know, they can do so under the cover of internet anonymity, as you, the writer of this letter, are doing. And they can feel free to tell stories and ask questions and explore different ideas. More importantly, but though, it really seems like they're hungry to talk about the sexual desires they have that they don't feel comfortable talking about to anyone else, not even their partner. Think about that for a second and let that sink in. I get letters from people, a lot of letters from people, who are telling me their sexual fantasies that they have not told their partners. I find that sad, and I understand all the reasons for it. And what I really want is a world where sexuality is accepted in all its various manifestations, whether that is beating people who want to be beaten, or fucking men in the ass with a strap-on dildo, or cross-dressing on the job and having it be no big deal. I dream of a world like that, where sexual proclivities are just another part of a human being and not something so harshly judged by such rigidly narrow standards. Ugh. So to finally answer the question after all that, I value many other things as well, but pleasure is front and center for me in my life as Ruby Ryder. And I fully embrace the challenge of trying to spread more pleasure in this world, as well as, you know, finding as much pleasure and juiciness, let's not forget the juiciness, as I personally can handle. Okay, next question. How did it all begin? And how would you like it to end? Wow, for your age, which I will not divulge, you are a deep thinker. I've been asked the question about how it all began before, but I've never been asked how I would like it to end. So, okay, how did it all begin? It began with me being fairly fixated on asses and ass play. Don't know why. Always very, very fascinated with them. Grew up with Penthouse Forum letters on the coffee table when I was 15, 16. I would immediately turn straight to the anal section, check it out. I do not remember a particular moment that was epiphany-like where I realized that as a woman I could actually strap one on and fuck a guy. I do remember, it was probably Penthouse Letters, I can't imagine where else I would have read it, about two women. It was such a bizarrely written letter that was supposed to have happened about how two women were angry about being football widows. You know, their husbands watch football all the time and never pay any attention to them. So they came home one day and the women had this thing set up where the guys had to hold footballs as if like they were the centers playing football, right? They had to bend over and hold the footballs and the women fucked them in the ass. And, you know, as cheesy as that sounds, I think maybe there were even some big black men that came in and fucked the guys in the ass too after the women did. You know, you want some stereotypes? There you go. But man, that one stuck with me. And that might have been the first time that I realized that this is something that could be done. So from there, I wrote a lot of erotica about it and hid it away. And then when I turned 50, I thought, okay, if not now, when? And I started a website. I started posting my erotica up, and I realized that I'd have to have a blog and make some podcasts. And well, I didn't plan the podcast right away. I did the blog posts and things because people aren't just going to magically find your stories. And in doing so, I set out to educate myself as much as I could about pegging. And I'll never forget how I went on Adult Friend Finder and put an ad up. And I've talked about that ad before, about how I answered this question that said, describe your favorite sexual fantasy. And I wrote a story, you know, and I have some writing skills. And so I wrote this story, and it was total like femdom pegging thing. It was pretty short. And I look back now, it's not very well written. It is still on my website if you'd like to go find it. It's called Hard Times at the Hotel. And men came out of the freaking woodwork and were so interested in doing this with me, and I was kind of blown away. And I will also never forget the man who decided he wanted to explore this with me. And I'm like, holy crap, I have to order my equipment. I don't even have any equipment. It was pretty funny. So since then, that feels like a long time ago. And experience-wise, it has been not only experience of pegging with a few different partners, but also experience in talking to all of you out there. Because that's the other thing that I did, was I just totally dove down the rabbit hole. And I tell you, man, it keeps going. It blows my mind. Because it's not just pegging. It's all kinds of other fetishes and sexual desires and delights connected with it. It's about emotions. It's about relationships. It's about equipment. It's about toxic equipment. There's so much here that I just kind of keep finding more to talk about. But that is how it all began. Absolutely. So now as to the question of how I would like it to end. Well, with about 5 to 10 wildly successful books, teaching and public speaking as much as I can handle, a few very high-class erotic pegging films, and perhaps branching off into other areas besides pegging, and a chance to edit some anthologies of pegging stories, and a line of Ruby Rider toys. That would be pretty much what I'm looking at. And as far as my personal life, I'd love to find the man of my dreams to spend the rest of my life with in there somewhere. Sooner rather than later would be awesome. But if not, the young men will keep me company. So here is the last part of this message. Some of those questions, I'll admit, are personal and maybe even a bit intrusive, so I will respect your decision to withhold answers. Consider it a young man's ramblings if you would like. I really don't know why I decided to contact you. It could have been a spur of the moment, or even a temporary lapse of sanity. However, do know that I have nothing but utmost respect for your experience and the passion you have put forth in your writing. I hope to match that passion in my own writing, hell, in my own endeavors in the future. Sincerely, some random dude on FetLife. I gotta give it to you. That is the best different kind of letter I have received in some time. I mean, I get all kinds of letters asking about pegging and specifics and convincing people in relationships and things. But that one, that letter was really fun to receive. So thank you for that very much. So that was a lot of information about Ruby there. And here is actually, I'm going to keep talking about myself. Here's the rest of your Ruby update. Because I know you're all wanting to hear the juicy details of what's happening in my life. Actually, there's been a rather significant change. What's happening is Mr. Great Kisser and I are no longer friends with benefits, and now we are just friends. And this was not completely unexpected by any means, as because from the beginning he identified as a switch. When we met, he really wanted to explore submission with me as well as pegging and impact play. And he wanted to explore that with an experienced partner. And we so did. We totally explored that and had a shiny time doing so. And after a while, his dominant side was really talking to him more and more loudly, wanting to go off and explore some of the things he'd learned with me and to explore them from the other side of the power coin, or the power exchange, if you will. So it was time. And sure, I'm sad to see him go, but I'm really happy to have had those past 4 months. And I've been telling people we're practically the poster kids for kinky people for good communication and handling things like this well. I mean, I followed the campsite rule, absolutely. In fact, he mentioned to me that had I not encouraged him to embrace his sexuality, whatever shape and flavor that turned out to be, that was calling to him, he probably would not have had the courage to enjoy his fun bisexual experience in San Francisco. which was really, really hot to hear about. I can't remember what podcast that is, but I talked about that, I think, in, I don't know, 51, 52, maybe. Anyway, the thing he said that gave me the total warm fuzzies is that he was going to take that campsite rule to every relationship he ever has. So in a small way, I have helped this world become a better place. And hopefully, he will teach the women he encounters the campsite rule as well and start a domino effect. And all of you listening will do the same thing. Let's not forget you guys. So the campsite rule, as you all know, or in case you haven't heard about it, leave the person better than you found them. That is how you apply the campsite rule to relationships. So what did I learn from Mr. Great Kisser? I learned that I really enjoy young men. Wow. And as an aside, you know, this could be a bit of a challenge with my no shaving stand because, you know, the younger the person is, usually the less hair they tend to think is acceptable. But moving right along, I also learned that I quite enjoy the role of teacher. That was actually really exciting and was very gratifying. And what else? Oh, I discovered that if a young man practices edging when he masturbates, ideally when he first starts, it can result in a remarkable amount of orgasm control, even at a really young age. I thought I would share that tidbit with you. Really enjoyed that. And I learned that a man who enjoys being beaten is a thrill for me. In fact, I'm going to post a short story that I wrote for you all, and you'll see what I mean. So, thank you, Mr. Great Kisser, for 4 months of wild, unrestrained sexual exploration and fun. It was good times. And what else? Oh, my illicit email relationship with Zach is going well. Thank you very much. In fact, the short story that I wrote, I called it The Beating, and it was absolutely written with him in mind, no question. So, you know, can you see the muse element here? Yeah, I get a lot of the muse effect with Zach. It's pretty remarkable. In fact, I'll be posting up another story of his before too long. I'm polishing it up right now. And I still feel kind of bad about the whole illicitness of the email connection. It's interesting, you know, my feelings are kind of a mix between that denial thing where you put your fingers in your ears and you're like, la, 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 because you don't want to hear anything anybody has to say. Not that any of you are giving me a hard time, but I, you know, am practically talking to myself on this one about how it's not a good thing. Anyway, it's a mix between that denial and the other half of it, or part of it, equally as strong. Well, obviously, stronger since I'm still here doing this. The other part of it is an, oh my God, that is so fucking hot kind of way. In which things he writes me just like thrill me to my core. And as a writer, I do not throw around that trite phase lightly, okay? Thrill me to my core. So yeah. Life can be confusing sometimes, but I am holding on for the ride, and I am enjoying every turn. Okay, I want to tell you, lastly, this is like a really long podcast, how fun. So there's another podcast that I want to tell you about. This is one for those of you into cuckolding. And cuckolding is when a man enjoys his wife having sex with other men. Since I began this journey with the whole pegging paradise, I have found so many fetishes that overlap with pegging, and I stopped judging any of them a long time ago as long as they're consensual. So this man, who I can now say is a friend of mine, has kept me apprised of his cuckolding journey, he and his wife, pretty much as it is unfolding, and I swear I'm hooked. You know, as far as his podcast is concerned, he's just starting it. But here's the hook. It's like whenever I find someone who is willing to tell their story with honesty and wonder and an unmatched sort of openness that that speaks of like trying to find a way to talk about something inside you that you're just beginning to understand. When that happens, the poignancy and the excitement of that exploration that's concurrent is practically palpable in the telling, and hence the hook of the podcast. I encourage you to give him a listen and write him if you enjoy cuckolding too. He'd especially love to hear from the women. And look forward to the day when he and I are on each other's podcasts because of the lovely intersection of our two interests. The website is called cuckcast.com. And of course, I'm going to post that for all of you. So we're done. Wow. 50 minutes. Weehaw. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. You can like me on my Facebook page, subscribe to my blog. My podcast is available on iTunes and also available on my blog directly at peggingparadise.com. Please go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a review. It would be totally, totally awesome. Please send all your questions and stories to rubywriter.com, or you can click the right Ruby links at the upper right corner of every page on my blog. Thank you for downloading and listening. Thank you for being there. I couldn't do this. I wouldn't do this if it weren't for all of you. And happy pegging.